this morning comes from the book of Exodus once again, Exodus chapter 25. And we as a congregation have been preaching our way through this book, and we are up to Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 through 30. Exodus 25, the verses 23 through 30. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Also make around it a rim of hand breadth wide and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table and fasten them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And make its plates and lottles of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. That's the reading of God's word this morning. One of the first questions that was asked yesterday at our prayer meeting was, what is the difference between the bread that verse 30 tells us is in the presence of the Lord on this table and the manna which God sends from heaven? In Exodus chapter 16, we read about the manna which comes down to the people from heaven. Each and every day, the children of Israel would awake as they lived in this wilderness, and they would find manna on the ground of which they would gather, of which they would know that God is providing for them their daily food and their daily provisions so that they could live and sustain their lives. And now in Exodus chapter 25, once again we are reading about bread, only this bread is on the table in the holy place, there before the Lord, verse 30 tells us, at all times. What is God telling us through this bread which he has them place on the table? Is God once again repeating to the people what he has already told them in the giving of the manna in Exodus 16? Is God repeating himself? Do both of these mean the same thing? Well, to answer that question, we've got to go back to Exodus 24 and remind ourselves of what God is doing and how God is revealing himself through the tabernacle. We are currently studying the tabernacle that God has given the instructions for the Israelite to build. God has them build a tabernacle, which is a place that he will dwell among his people. And in Exodus 24, as the covenant is made on Mount Sinai, God gives to the people the pattern for the tabernacle. In verse 4, the second half of verse 4, we read that Moses got up early in the morning. He built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent the young men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. This is on the base of the mountain, on the foot of the mountain. They are not upon the mountain at this point, but the young Israelite men, not the leaders, not the priests, nobody else, just the regular young Israelite men, are allowed to come to the foot of the mountain and make these sacrifices. And of course, we learned that in this pattern of the tabernacle, in comparison to the mountain, this is what went on in the courtyard of the tabernacle. Then at the end of chapter 24, we read in verse 15, that Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the 7th day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud, and there Moses went to speak with the Lord. Verse 18, Moses entered the cloud. Again, we saw last week as we studied the ark that this fits the pattern of the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. only one man was allowed to go to the top of the mountain where God's presence was, just as one man was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. Aaron the high priest went into the Holy of Holies where God's presence was and where he brought the blood of the covenant. But then notice what happens in verse 9 of Exodus 24. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Here on the foot of the mountain, they are not on the top of the mountain where Moses went, but they are at the feet of God. They see his feet. They see the sapphire, the pavement made of sapphire. They are not in his presence looking at him face to face, but they are on the base of the mountain eating and drinking at the feet of God. And who is there? Not everyone, but Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. This represents what goes on in the holy place. The table of showbread of which we read this morning is to be placed in the holy place. Not everyone can go into the holy place. Only the 70 elders and the leaders of Israel may enter into this place. And as they enter into this place, they will find this table. What goes on this table? Well, for that we must turn ahead to the book of Leviticus, chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5. Here the Lord is giving instructions to the priests for what is to take place on that table. Take fine flour and bake 12 loaves of bread, using 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf. Set them in two rows, 6 in each row, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And along each row put some pure incense as a memorial portion to represent the bread and to be an offering made to the Lord by fire. When the priests walked into the temple, into the holy place, the tabernacle, the holy place, they would see that table sitting there, and on that table was 12 loaves of bread. The 12 loaves of bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who was a member of the country of Israel or of their nation was represented there. Each tribe had their loaf of bread. Each member of each tribe was represented in the holy place by one of these loaves of bread. Then notice what happens in verse 8. This bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites, as a lasting covenant. The priests would go into this holy place every Sabbath, on the day that God had given the Israelites to worship Him, on the day that the children of Israel focused not on themselves, but on the worship of God. On that day, each and every week, the priests would enter this place and they would see the bread and they would change the bread so that it would not get moldy and so that it would stay fresh. Why? Verse 9. This bread belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in a holy place, because it is a most holy part of their regular share of the offerings made to the Lord by fire. What goes on with this table in the holy place? Aaron and his sons, the priests, are to eat of this table. They are to eat of this bread. They are to have a meal with God. Turn back once again to Exodus 25 and look what it tells us in verse 29. And make its plates and ladles of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls, for the pouring out of offerings. Not only was there bread upon that table, But so were the plates, so were the things that they needed to have a meal. What was on that table was a place set for God, a place set for the priests, a table representing the fellowship that God had with his people. Now, when we think of getting to know somebody or expressing our fellowship with them, one of the things we do is we invite them over for a meal. Somebody comes to visit the church, we're glad to see them, we ask them over for Sunday lunch. We have a meal with them because the meal represents our bond of fellowship. The tabernacle that God is instructing the Israelites to build is God's way of dwelling with his people. He will dwell with them. He will not be apart from them, but he will be amongst them. And what better way to dwell and have fellowship with his people than to have a meal with them? Not all the Israelites can go there. Only the priests may enter that place. Only the priests may go and eat. Not outside. They may take it home and say, well, we won't want it to go to waste. We'll take it home and finish it when we get home. No, this meal, verse 9 of Exodus 24, or of Leviticus 24, this meal is to be eaten in the holy place because it is a most holy part of the regular share of the offerings made to the Lord by fire. This table represents God's fellowship with his people. This table represents the 12 tribes of Israel enjoying a meal each and every week with God. They always know that the table is set. They always know that the bread is fresh. It doesn't get moldy as if they couldn't have their meal because they don't have any food. Each and every Sabbath, the bread was changed. Each and every Sabbath, the bread was made fresh. And each and every Sabbath, the Israelites knew that they were dining with their God. But notice also what it tells us in Leviticus 24 at the end of verse 8. This is to be done on behalf of the Israelites as a lasting covenant. You see, what took place on Mount Sinai that we saw in Exodus 24 was the confirmation of a covenant. The Israelites had made their sacrifices. The 70 elders of Israel went up upon the foot of the mountain, and there they enjoyed the confirmation meal with God. The meal was a sign and a seal of the covenant that they had made. God had promised that he would dwell with them. God had promised that he would forgive their sins, that he would make their offerings effective. God had promised that he would be their God and they would be his people, and the people had promised that they would serve him. And together, they sealed this with a meal. Now, as the priests will enter into the holy place, they will take part in a meal every week. But does that mean that this meal is a new covenant made every single week? That every week God is again making a covenant with his people? That each week God is once again doing everything all over that he did on Mount Sinai? No. This table and this meal, which took place every week, was to help the Israelites remember that covenant that they had made. It was not a new covenant, but it was a sign and a seal of the covenant that God had already made with them, and that they continued to be a part of it, and that they could continue to enjoy that fellowship and that meal with God. Now, what is the difference in the life of the Israelites between the manna and between the bread on the table? The manna that God rained down from heaven represented to the children of Israel that God would provide for their daily needs, that God would provide for them the food they needed to sustain their lives, that each and every day that they lived, God would provide His grace to them by giving them this bread, their daily bread. And the table of showbread represented the fellowship that they enjoyed with their God. It was a reminder of the covenant that God had made with them at Mount Sinai. It was a reminder of the fact that they, as God's people, enjoyed fellowship with Him, enjoyed a meal with Him, and that God was so close to them that the table was always set for them to enjoy that meal. But the manna and the bread of the table also pointed forward to what God had planned to do through the Savior that would come for those people and for us. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. And look what it tells us in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. When Jesus is questioned about the bread that He gave to the 5,000, Jesus teaches His disciples and the people that He is the bread of life, that He represents the manna that fell in the wilderness to their forefathers, that He is the one who supplies each and every one of their daily needs. If they have Jesus, if they have the words that He has spoken, if they have the grace that He has poured out on the cross, they have all that they need. Their earthly needs pale in comparison to the fullness and the joy and the food that they have in Jesus for the rest of their life and for all eternity. Jesus is the bread. But Jesus is also represented in this table. Because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul tells us how Jesus is the fulfillment of this bread of showbread. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he tells us this: For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He made it. He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. The table of showbread represented that God was ready to dine with His people at any time. The 12 tribes were represented. The priests went in there week by week to dine with Him as they ate of this bread, as the table was set. And the Lord Jesus Christ, before He died, gave us a supper, gave the church a meal. He said, This bread is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. When we have the Lord's Supper in our church, the supper is not representing a new covenant that is made each and every time. It is not representing that Jesus died on the cross every time that we partake of that supper. But the supper is a reminder, not of the mountain at Sinai, but the hill of Calvary. The hill of Calvary where Jesus died on that cross. a reminder of the new covenant that God has made with His people, and that God's people will always know that God is so close to them that He dines with them, that they, as His people, may enjoy a meal with the true and living God. No longer is there the Old Testament holy place where only the priests may enter every Sabbath and enjoy this meal. But the holy place is opened up for all of God's people, all who know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, and they may come and enjoy this meal with God. Now you see why it is so important that before we enjoy the Lord's Supper here at this church, we call for people to examine themselves and think about what they are doing. For how could someone living and enjoying their sin come to this place and enjoy a meal with the true and living God without the grace of Jesus covering their sins? What a glorious meal this is. What a glorious fulfillment of this supper that this is. And what a way that God reveals these things to us. For as the Israelites saw manna, so do we see the grace of Christ, which flows to us from His body each and every day that we live our lives. As He feeds us in His Word, as we go to Him in prayer, as we know that as we live in Him, we have all that we need. And so it is true with their table of showbread. For God has given us this Lord's Supper, which represents the dining with God that we do through the grace of Christ, which reminds us of the covenant that God has given us, which humbles us to know that our God loves us so much that He has come into this world and we can dine with Him in the holy place. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the tabernacle. We thank You, Lord, for the table of the bread of presence, which helps us see and understand the great supper that You have given us in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the covenant that was made with us on Mount Calvary. Lord, that we can know and understand that Jesus has come into this world, that He has died on the cross, that He has paid for our sins, and that together as Your people, we may dine with Him in the supper. We thank You, O God, for being so near to us, and giving us this reminder each and every month that we can know that we belong to You and that You are close to us. Oh God, humble us to know that as we dine with You, we are not worthy, that we can only dine with You by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we always be fed and strengthened with the knowledge that You are with us each and every day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.